Joining us to talk a little NFL football is James Walker, who's the AFC North blogger for ESPN.com. And James, we talked to Joe Reedy, who of course covers the Bengals for the Cincinnati Inquirer earlier. I'm finding it fascinating if the cap comes through as we're hearing at $120 million, where they got to spend close to 100% of the cap, how much money that Mike Brown's now going to have to spend?
Yeah, it's a game changer, especially as you mentioned, for a team like the Bengals. And I've been listening to your show this morning. You guys mentioned the Buccaneers. That's another team who's actually on the rise and could really make a difference if they decide to spend money to that degree. But, yeah, the Bengals have always been traditionally, one of the more frugal teams. To try to explain it in a nutshell, the Bengals are the family business for the Browns family. That's how they make their money. That's how they've always made their money. They're not an oil tycoon like Jerry Jones, where the Dallas Cowboys are kind of his toy. They don't have a business like Home Depot, like Arthur Blank in Atlanta, and where the Falcons are kind of his toy. So the Bengals have always been sort of a bottom-line business in the way the Brown family treats it, because that's primarily how they've made their money. So they've been one of the more cheaper organizations in terms of their spending and how they put their resources into their team. And, you know, whether they have to spend 100% of the cap, 95%, whatever that number is going to be at the end of the day, I really think that's going to be a huge difference maker for teams like the Bengals, that they probably don't want to do it but are going to be forced to do it. So it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out. I really think it's probably going to have a deal done in the next 3 weeks, where, you know, it's kind of going to be open season with all these changes, and to see how it really changes the outlook for a lot of teams.
Do you see the AFC North as big players in free agency?
It's different for every team. I think the Browns, I guess if they have to spend, close to 95% to the cap, I guess, every team, it's going to kind of even the playing field. But traditionally, I think the Browns are probably going to be the biggest. They have the most ground to make up in terms of pure talent on their roster, and they have a lot of cap space. And I think whether or not, this salary cap thing worked out, the way it's going to, the Browns are going to be big players in free agency anyway. Mike Holmgren kind of has an open checkbook from Randy Lerner, who's a certified billionaire. He has the money to spend. They want to win. They're paying Mike Holmgren a lot of money to come into Cleveland and to, turn that team into a winner. And, like I mentioned, there's so much ground to make up in terms of talent compared to the Ravens and compared to the Steelers that really the fastest way for the Browns to try to make up ground is through the draft and free agency. And they've been doing a pretty decent job so far in the draft. So, yeah, I expect the Browns probably more than any team, to be players in free agency. I think you're going to see the Ravens and Steelers pretty much take care of their own. They got some players in-house that they have to take care of first, and then they're going to allocate, some free agent money once that's done. But I really think in terms of outside free agents, I think you're going to see probably the Browns make more moves than any other team in the division.
Will Cleveland try to sign a veteran receiver? And who would be at the top of that list, to help that young group of guys? I mean, they got Massacoy, Rubisky, and Little. They got a bunch of young guys.
Yeah, the Browns have been talking pretty highly of their receivers, which has been one of the more baffling things for me this offseason. They've been more in defense of their receivers and sort of bashing the way they ran off the offense the last couple years under Mangini. And they do have a point. The offensive system that Brian Daboll and Eric Mangini ran last year was, I live in Cleveland. They've been described as archaic and behind the times.
Are you sure Jim Zorn wasn't there?
I'm sorry, say again?
Wasn't Jim Zorn there then? I've heard the same thing about his offense as archaic.
Yeah, offensive guys.
Sorry to interrupt.
Get ripped in every city, pretty much. But, yeah, it's they've been sticking up for their wide receivers more than I expect, which tells me that they're probably not going to make a move. They spent the second-round draft pick on Greg Little. They have two other young receivers, and Rubisky and Massaquai, which, have gotten mixed reviews. I personally don't think they're that good. I don't think Massaquai's the number one receiver. I don't think Rubisky's a starting caliber receiver, but they got both guys playing bigger roles than normally they would have on another team. But I really expect them to sort of make more moves on the defensive side. They still need a defensive end. I think Ray Edwards is still in play for them. He's probably going to be one of the better defensive linemen, free agents out there. I think safety is an issue for them as well. I think, you're going to see them try to make a play for Dante Whitner, who's a Cleveland guy, which I think helps them in terms of recruiting guys to come in free agency, because a lot of players don't necessarily want to go to Cleveland because it's not necessarily a great city to live in, per se, compared to some other NFL cities, and also it's not a winning program. So I think you're going to see them make moves elsewhere as far as spending big money. And then maybe at the end, if they do spend money on a receiver, it'll probably be secondary. But I really see them making moves and spending most of their free agent money on other positions.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with James Walker, AFC North blogger for ESPN.com here on 105.7 The Fan. And James, where are the Bengals going to end up spending their money? I guess they're going to have to take care of Jonathan Joseph, but they've got a lot of money to spend. Where are they going to spend
Cedric
it?
Cedric Benson.
Yeah. Benson has been a guy that you know, says he wants to come back. The Bengals want him back. Jay Gruden's been talking about, even though he's going to run a West Coast offense, you know, still sticking to that power running game, which I think is a very smart thing to do, playing in this AFC North division. So I think, you know, Jonathan Joseph was a guy that probably wasn't in play before these new cap rules, you know, were being discussed. Joseph, you know, a playing cornerback, a pretty good young cornerback, too. I've talked to some scouts that said, you know, this guy is probably one of the most underrated players on the market as far as being a very good cover corner. And still, he's only 26 and probably still has the ability to get better over these next couple years. So, you know, he's probably going to get somewhere between 8 and 11 million, depending on, you know, how many teams are interested and things like that. And really, I thought that was going to be out of the price range for Cincinnati. And now, if they're, you know, if they have to spend 95 to 100% of the salary cap, now he probably comes in play to where they will almost have to, you know, pay certain players, you know, those kind of, that kind of money to get closer to that cap figure. So now I think that increases the chances of him coming back. And Cedric Benson, he's, you know, he's kind of on the wrong side. He's a 29-year-old running back now, but the Bengals value him. And, you know, as you mentioned earlier, Vinny, that, you know, if you like your own players, you probably should sign your own players because they're more valuable to you than they would be for another team. So I really think those two in-house decisions are probably going to be the first thing the Bengals make, and then they're going to look elsewhere and see where their cap situation is from there.
Sounds like Ike Taylor wants to go to the highest bidder. No hometown discount for the Steelers.
No, Ike is a 31-year-old cornerback, and you know this is probably going to be his last contract, our last major contract that he's going to get for his career. And he knows the market value out there for corners right now. And Ike has always been one of those guys that has been, I don't know if he's been underrated, but a lot of people don't necessarily talk about him. He's a decent cover corner. He just doesn't have good hands, so his interception numbers just have never been high, and he's been underrated, undervalued for that reason. So Ike has two Super Bowl rings already. A lot of people don't mention that. A lot of players at his stage of his career are looking to play for winners and looking to chase that elusive Super Bowl, you know, Super Bowl dreams they've had since they were kids. But Ike Taylor already has two Super Bowl championships from the 2005 and 2008 season with Pittsburgh. So now he's sort of in the opposite realm now where he's looking to get paid. And you know, the Steelers are rarely a team that overpays for players, whether it's their own players or definitely outside free agents. So I think there's probably a better than 50% chance that Ike Taylor probably goes to the highest bidder and see what's out there. But with these new cap rules, you never know. The Steelers might go a little bit above and beyond now what they normally would spend for free agents.
How about a third down back? I mean, do they re-sign Mawelde Moore? Do you think that they're serious about Tiki Barber or possibly a Reggie Bush? And also, is there talk about them bringing Plaxico back?
Yeah, there is some talk about all the names you mentioned except Reggie Bush. There's been some talk about Tiki Barber and Plaxico Burress. I don't know if either guy will work out. I know there is some sentiment in the locker room. Ben Roethlisberger had a decent relationship with Burress, but they really don't have a need there for a receiver, a 30-plus-year-old receiver that's been out of football for the last 2 years. They have some young guys coming up, Emmanuel Sanders, Antonio Brown, who I think are both going to be good players. Mike Wallace is already a good player. A very good player already in his third season, and Hines Ward is still a starter. So they really don't have a need there for another receiver because the guy, you know, whoever comes in is probably going to be the fourth or fifth guy on the depth chart, you know, considering the talent that they already have there. So I really don't see them going after Plaxico, even though they drafted him in 2000. As far as Tiki Barber, they do have a need there. They do have a need there as far as a third down running back. I don't know if they want to bring in a veteran like Barber, another guy who's been out of football for a while and, you know, has a strong personality in the locker room. That's really not the type of move that the Steelers typically make. I don't think they will sign Mawelde Moore. I think they're going to look more so in the rookie free agent pool to try to get a scat back type. It's really not as big a role in Pittsburgh's offense as people may think. They run a lot of multiple receiver sets. They run a lot of dual tight end sets. So I really don't think they need a big need for a third down running back. They do have Isaac Redmond there, who they do like, a very strong running back in between the tackles, who's going to back up Rashard Mendenhall. So I think whoever comes in is going to be third on the depth chart as well. So the Steelers know that, and they're not going to overspend for a guy who's going to be their third running back on their depth chart.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with James Walker, AFC North blogger for ESPN.com here on 105.7 The Fan. From where you're sitting, the Ravens, as far as getting their own done, who do you think is their number one priority? And we've been talking about Jared Gaither. I think we both agree that there's no chance he's coming back. What do you think?
No, I would really be surprised if Jared Gaither does return. The Ravens are very big on guys that they feel are quote-unquote Ravens or play-like Ravens. And, you know, Jared Gaither, with a lot of stuff that he's gone through the last, year or so with the injuries and just the dropping weight, without letting the team know. And there was just a little bit too much that went on last year between Gaither and the organization where I'd really be surprised if they gave him a huge contract extension. It was something he wanted last year. The Ravens did not give it to him. And then there was a chain of events where there's been some, some tension between him and his representation and the team. So there's just too much negative history there to where I'd be surprised if the Ravens gave him a lot of money for him to come back. I think he could be a decent player, when he's focused and when he's healthy, but, you don't know that. He's missed a year of football. Another case where you have a guy this time due to injury who missed another year of football. So I really don't think he's coming back. But you have to look at Haloti Ngata and the cornerback positions as far as what they're going to do with Josh Wilson or Chris Carr. I think they'll bring at least one of those guys back to probably be the nickelback on the team if Dominique Foxworth is healthy. And obviously you have Jimmy Smith, the first-round pick. And Haloti Ngata is going to get a huge deal. I think that's probably the first order of business. There's actually been some talk about whether or not the franchise tag is going to come back, which is scary for teams like the Ravens and the Steelers who have Haloti Ngata and Lamar Woodley both on the tag. If they become free agents, they would have to get a deal done quickly. And I really don't think either guy will leave in either scenario, but just to have that security whether or not there's a franchise tag, I think would be scary for both teams.
And both guys would make a lot more money if that were to happen, if there was no franchise tag, because if there was bidding, I think, because they're both young guys, both productive guys, both outstanding players, a lot of people would covet those guys.
Yeah, both in their prime. And I think that would sort of increase the urgency, as well. And those are all bargaining chips that would go, in the advantage of the players. So, yeah, I agree with you completely, Vinny, that if there was no franchise, and I think there will be a franchise tag, but there's been talk that there won't be, and I think there's at least a chance that there won't be. But if that's the case, then I think that would definitely, sort of raise some eyebrows in Pittsburgh and Baltimore with both of those players, although I don't think either guy would go. I think that would probably, as you mentioned, Vinny, I think that would probably add a couple extra million in their pocket.
What are you hearing about Roethlisberger's foot?
Roethlisberger... there's been talk in Pittsburgh a lot about, him sort of over-dramatizing his injuries. And there's been absolutely no talk about his foot this entire offseason until he brought it up. So there's been mixed reviews. I haven't been able to confirm anything as far as whether or not he will get surgery or anything like that. It's, according to him, he said that if he needs it, he'll have it. But I think at this point of the season, we're already approaching July. If he really needed surgery, he probably would have gotten it. So I don't think there would be much of an issue. The fact that there haven't been a lot of camps and everything like that, he's been able to stay off the foot. He did play with a broken bone in his foot last year. It didn't seem to bother him all that much, at least during the games. I'm sure during the week he missed some practice time and things like that. But I don't think he would have surgery at this point. That would really push him back, as we're starting to approach training camp, especially if the deal gets done in the next few weeks.
Now, did ESPN make you go cover the rally in Pittsburgh for Hines Ward because he won Dancing with the Stars?
No, I saw it, and I'm kind of surprised by that. But, the Steelers, they came close to winning the Super Bowl, so they didn't necessarily have the Super Bowl rally that they expected. So Hines Ward won the Mirror Ball trophy, so I figured they decided to have a rally for something. But, no, I'm actually on vacation right now. I was told to kind of take time off right now while I can, because if I waited another couple weeks, then we may have free agency in a few weeks. So I decided to take the time off, and trust me, I'm not complaining that I don't have to go to Pittsburgh and cover a Dancing with the Stars rally.
Hey James, last thing for you, T.O. Torn ACL. Drew Rosenhaus, I guess, just said on SportsCenter that he'll be back by the start of the season with the torn ACL. I don't buy that. Have we seen the last of T.O. in your mind? And how did his year in Cincinnati go?
His year in Cincinnati was very up and down. And well, in terms of production, he was fine. But as the team began losing, and I think Joe Reed mentioned this, he was very accurate in saying this, when the team began losing, he became more vocal and sort of showed a lot of the things that, he showed in the past. And I think that's one thing that T.O. has always had a reputation for. And when he goes to a team in the future, I don't think he'll retire. I really don't think he's going to come back by September. But if he's able to make it back by November or by December, you know, for the stretch run, there may be a team that's in the playoff hunt and needs a receiver. And, you know, I there's always a need for that. And T.O. would not be on the hook for a full season. You would only sign him for, say, the last 2 months of the regular season and a playoff run. So I think there probably will be a team willing to take a risk on a proven player. You can't argue with T.O.'s numbers. In terms of numbers, he's one of the greatest receivers, most productive receivers of all time. So I do think he will get a job if he proves to be 100% healthy by the end of the season. But in terms of being ready by September, I just don't see it. I mean, ACL injuries are at least 9-month injuries, and I just don't see him back by that time.
Hey, James, curious, since you've been listening a little bit today, we've been talking about our childhood sports memories in light of Lorenzo Charles passing away in the NC State Championship. As a kid, one of your sports memories that shaped who you are today?
Yeah, good question. I haven't really thought about that much. I haven't really been a fan of pro sports because of my job in a long time, so it's kind of hard to think back. I would probably go back to college days, which isn't necessarily my childhood, but I was covering Temple University my senior year with the basketball team for my school paper, which was the year they went to the Elite Eight in 2001. It kind of shows my age. I'm a fairly young guy. But
was that Eddie Jones and Aaron McKay?
No. That was a little bit before that. Was
Mark Macon?
Yeah, no, that was. I think that was before that, even before that in the 80s. This was more, the Pepe Sanchez years when he was there. This was late. Early 2000s, so it wasn't that long ago. It was probably about 10 years ago that they went to the Elite Eight, and it was John Chaney's actually his last time making it that far. He could never get to that Final Four, but just kind of seeing the pageantry and everything of the NCAA tournament kind of helped me fall in love with college basketball. I still like college basketball to this day, even though I cover the NFL. It doesn't go back too far, but because I'm not really, I have to be objective with pro sports. I try to stay away from that as far as fandom and everything. But no, great question overall, and I like hearing the responses on your show today.
Hey, James Walker, ESPN AFC North blog. We'll talk to him every Tuesday. As always, James, thanks for your time.
Thanks, James. Enjoy your vacation.
All right, I appreciate it, guys. Talk to you next week.